That was also the first episode of the show I ever saw.
The last episode of season one?
Yep, because I was rooming with some folks at a hotel, and they were super into the show, and they wanted to watch it, and they asked me if that was okay, and I was like, whatever, sure. I have no way of watching this easily at home anyway, so let's see what happens. And then I told them, I was like, it's cool. I'm super excited to see Sean Bean in doing something that isn't Lord of the Rings.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Hi, everyone. It is WTF at TFW time, and we're recording our super special Valentine's Day show, although you're not going to hear this until after Valentine's Day, but nonetheless, this is the episode where we would like to wish enormous affection upon each and every single one of you who's listening, especially you, right there. And joining me for our Hearts and Chocolates festivities is Seth Buzzard.
Hello.
Hearts and Chocolates.
Hearts and Chocolates. And
yeah.
So you're positive this isn't going to be out?
I'm super positive.
You're absolutely certain?
Yep.
So if I tempt fate and say Hearts, Chocolates, and wristwatches, then I'm not going to be giving away the gift that I got my girlfriend?
You absolutely will not. Okay, cool. I have a supplemental and an episode to release. And I'd rather just have two things come out this week, because that way people don't get confused and bewildered.
All right. Well, as long as it comes out, it could come out Saturday.
Yeah.
That's fine. But as long as it's not out on Friday, or before Friday, that'll be a bummer.
You have nothing to worry about, is all I got to say.
Okay, cool. Because she listens.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, I don't know why, but she does.
Hi.
So last week, or last time, when I was talking about the sploosh from upstairs,
mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm probably going to get in trouble for talking about that.
Yeah?
I didn't get in trouble. She thought it was hilarious.
Hooray! And
she also hates the sploosh.
Friggin' sploosh. Well, you know what touched down with a sploosh, and what I'd like to quickly talk to you about, because you weren't on last week because we were doing an even episode.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. What happened?
Okay. Just a quick thing. I don't even know if you saw it, so I'll just ask. Did you watch the Super Bowl teaser for the fourth Transformers film?
Yeah, it happened. Yes. I saw it. And while it was happening, other people in the room were mocking it.
Were they all looking at you, too?
No.
Okay.
Just going, oh, they're fighting cartoons. Or they kept referring to the Transformers as cartoons. And I was like, okay, fine. Can I pay attention, please? And I'm having kind of a hard time right now remembering any of it. There was something... I remember there was something I saw. Okay, so the dude's whole face turns into a gun.
Yes.
I remember that. And I remember Optimus Prime riding on Grimlock's back. And then we had seen all these toys and stuff with Optimus Prime and Grimlock's back. And at some point, didn't you theorize that wasn't actually going to happen?
I can't remember anymore. I think all I remember is I thought it would be really funny if this imagery of him riding on his back, it turns out that him and the Dinobots never actually meet in the entire movie.
Okay. Maybe it was, I'm just remembering you theorizing jokes.
Yeah, no, we were saying, what if the Dinobots are in, a separate storyline that takes place a million years before the Prime timeline? Now. Clearly that's not the case anymore.
Grimlock looked like a pile of just metal, as, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
He had horns.
And am I remembering right, does Marky Mark say something weird?
Yeah, I joked about it on Twitter. He says, what did he say? He said, everyone get behind me, and then the next shot they showed was him running with everything behind him exploding, and I thought that was kind of a dick move on his part.
Okay, I didn't pick up on that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it went up on YouTube pretty much right after they aired it, so I watched it a bunch of times and picked out the bits I thought were funny.
There was a commercial for some other movie I remember being more... Oh, The Spider-Man one.
I haven't watched any of the other Super Bowl commercials yet.
You see about 1 second of Rhino.
I saw the still promo image of Rhino where he looked all like a Transformer.
Yeah, he just looks like a mech suit.
Yeah.
Which I was a little disappointed about.
Well, I saw a rumor that they might be tapping into, like, Spider Slayer ideas for Spider-Man 2. Which just made me think of the 90s cartoon when they had the Spider Slayers in the 90s cartoon.
Uh-huh. Well, supposedly Sony wants to try to turn Spider-Man into, like, the Marvel Universe type movies. So there's going to be... Well, so there's going to be, like, a spin-off Venom movie and a spin-off Sinister Six movie. So this movie is introducing Electro, it's introducing Rhino. And then there's a shot of, like, a dude walking through, like, this sort of hall of trophies.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah.
I saw that. You see, like, Dr. Octopus's arms.
Yeah.
So I think they're just going to be introducing all these villains. And then I don't know how you do a movie just about six villains.
There's ways to do it.
Until you make them, like, the savage hero sort of thing.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, that sounds like it would be a whole lot like Secret Six or whatever that Gail Simone was working on at DC for a while.
Yeah. I don't know, though.
That seems weird to base it all off Spider-Man, but, I mean, there's a lot of Spider-Man.
Spider-Man has a gigantic rogues gallery.
Yeah.
And then you start mixing in, like, I don't know if this is going to include Spider-Woman, either of the Spider-Womans.
Yep, Spider-Womans.
Or if that includes, or it would, I assume it would include, like, Scarlet Spider. So there's a huge cast. I mean, it's like with the X-Men license. You're getting this giant roster of characters. It's just, what are you going to do with them?
Yeah, yeah. I guess I could see that. I hope that, I mean, I know a lot of people already don't have hopes for Amazing Spider-Man 2, but, I mean, the only thing that I legit hope is that it doesn't suffer what I felt the Captain America movie suffered, which was that the Captain America movie felt like it lost a lot of its body weight to being an Avengers prequel. More than any of the other Marvel movies did in that
phase.
That's the
Super Bowl trailer movie that really bummed me out. The Captain America one.
I haven't seen it. I mean, I know it's out there, but I haven't actually watched anything about Winter Soldier.
They give you a big, solid look at Winter Soldier's face unmasked.
Oh.
And I thought, why would you do that?
That's kind of dumb.
That's going to be like the emotional twist for the whole movie. Why do you give away who Winter Soldier is right there?
I mean, like, all the comic book people, of course, know who he is. Yeah. But there are viewers of those movies that just watch those movies.
Right, and it was a long time in the comics before they revealed who the Winter Soldier was.
Yeah.
So, it's like, okay, so you're gonna take all that possible drama buildup and just blow it in the trailer? Alright.
There are a lot of... And I don't know if it's the people cutting the trailers or the people who tell the people cutting the trailers how to cut the trailers, but there's a lot of real dumb people calling the shots on trailers right now. Like, super dumb people.
Yeah, and there was a pretty blatant reference to the whole thing in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, oh, so cornball. It just felt like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. being used to, like, say to the audience, like, hey, remember that guy? Remember? It's
like, right. I had a bad feeling that was going to be the whole Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, and I hope it looks up by the end. I mean, they're getting, what's her name, Sif in the show.
Oh, interesting.
That's one of their big announcements they made to try to get people's interest raised again, is they're like, an on-screen character from the movies who isn't, you know, the agent guy is going to show up in our show.
Oh, so have you seen any of that?
Nope. At this point, I'm just waiting for it to show up on Netflix.
Okay, well, there's a reoccurring character throughout. And at one point, like, things start happening to him. Mm-hmm. And then in the next episode, things happen to him. And I'm like, where are they going with this? And then there's... Like, they do these little after the last commercial break. It's the TV equivalent of after the credit scenes. And, like, one of them was Sam Jackson giving Coulson a hard time. But the most recent episode, at the time of this recording, the little after the last commercial scene reveals where they're going with this reoccurring character.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, finally something interesting happened.
Well, that's good.
We're like 10, 12 episodes into this series, and the last 3 seconds of this episode is the most interesting thing to happen yet. Okay, now I'm interested in what happens to this guy. And I don't really care about any of the main characters, Coulson's crew. Who cares about them? Let's get rid of all, sweep them all aside, focus on this guy, because this guy is now the most interesting thing about this show.
I want the show
to be great, but it's so boring.
That's the impression I get from a lot of, even the people who like the show seem to have trouble kind of defending it from the claim that it is a bit of a slow grind, to put it nicely.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple cool episodes. Like, the episode that directly references the second Thorne movie was cool.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are just boring.
That's why I'm also waiting for the whole season to be done, so at least, like, when I go in to watch it, I'm not going to look up direct spoilers, but at least I'll know, like, all right, does this show pick up, or is it just going to be me watching, like, season 3 of Heroes again? So, all that aside, the only other thing I want to add to our bit of off-topic TV movie talk is my brother watches a lot more TV than I do. And
that's all. Nothing else.
That's it.
Well, my brother watches more TV.
He was telling me about shows, and he told me about this show called Intelligence. And I was like, oh, I saw a poster for that. It looks like the dude's a robot. My brother's like, no, he's not. I'm like, well, what's his superpower then? Looks like he has superpowers. My brother's like, so in Intelligence, the main character has a computer chip in his brain that lets him access the internet with his mind. Uh-oh. And so the distillation of his superpower is he can use the internet marginally faster than someone with a smartphone. And that was my brother's exact words, and I've never heard anything that funny in a long time. He's like, his superpower is he can use the internet marginally faster than the tech experts next to him with their cell phones. And I was like, well, what does he do with the internet? He's like, well, he hacks emails and he looks up surveillance tapes, and then for some reason, and so he has another superpower, he can project a 3D image of the building he's in around him so he can see the floor plans overlaid on the actual building. So I'm like, so he can project a 3D image of a building around him that he's standing in. He's like, yeah. I'm like, this could be the best show ever, but it takes it all super seriously. So,
well, that's how they sell it,
I guess. And apparently whenever the guy starts using his superpowers, he, like, looks off into the distance and starts blinking, and then, like, all the tech experts around him just kind of stare at him like they don't know what he's doing when he starts wandering around the room, like, poking at things that aren't there. Anyway, Intelligence. Apparently it's pretty dumb.
So he's the only one that sees the 3D projection?
Yep.
So he just has built-in, like, a... Oh, crap. What's that called?
Google Glass.
Yeah, but I was going to say augmented reality.
Yeah, basically.
Right, so he's wearing augmented reality contact lenses and nobody else can see what's going on. Yeah. I thought you were saying like a laser comes out of his forehead and makes a projection around the room and then everyone could enjoy it. But if it's just him, then... whatever.
And then he can apparently hack email really easily because it's all in his brain. So he, like, talks to people and he goes, like, you should be careful what you have on your company email.
And they're like, this sounds like some late 90s stuff. Like, when the internet was first, like, becoming a thing and nobody understood what it was. Like, middle America didn't have computers yet. And so, like, movies like Sandra Bullock's The Net comes out where she's being stalked by the internet.
Well, and the best part of all this is apparently all the other characters the guy works with are all, like, super hacker tech people. So it's like his superpower is almost pointless because everyone around him is better with computers than he is. He can just use them fast.
Well, marginally faster.
Marginally fast. That's the best part. My brother's direct quote, marginally faster. Anyway... we're going to talk about... Oh, what?
Can he zoom in and enhance?
Only if it's on the internet.
Okay. Well, but you said he has access to security cameras.
I guess. So if instead of looking at the person in front of him, he can zoom in and enhance the security cam footage of...
Yeah.
Yeah. He's also a super spy, so when it all comes down to it, he can just, like, beat people up, too.
Oh. Cool.
Which I think actually makes it a bit more boring. But I like the idea that he's just, like, a normal dude who can use the internet fast. But we're going to talk about some Transformer toys now that we've talked about the Transformers upcoming live-action film a little bit with some other things. The Transformers Collectors Club, continuing on with their good use of Twitter, has posted some more test shot images of the upcoming subscription service number 2. This is the Rewind that they've had in hand ever since they had Chrome Dome in hand, but now they're taking they took 2 pictures of Rewind in robot mode. Looks like they're having some of the same problems transforming his arms that many of us had when we first got that Frenzy Rumble figure back in like 2010. But the big part about this figure is the new head, which is very comic book inspired. And in the comic books, Rewind's head just looks a whole lot like Rewind, but with a lot more character in it, in my opinion. And their head sculpt seems to capture pretty well. So, you know, the experiment looks like it's a success as far as taking the evil cassettes that turn into tanks and then making them into a good cassette that turns into a tank. Seth.
Hi.
Taking a look at this Rewind, does it make you feel anything?
No. Oh. I mean, I think for what they're doing, they did a good job. I mean, it looks Rewindish enough to where I recognize it easily as that's what they went for.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's all that it is. It's that mold in Rewind colors with a new head. So,
yeah, okay. It's got some people's interest because Rewind was a very beloved character in the first season of the More Than Meets the Eye books. Although he also wasn't a tank, which makes the toy really funny to me. Because in the More Than Meets the Eye books, he transforms into a memory stick and has a camera in his head that he films everything with. So I'm kind of amused by a very referential to that figure that turns instead into a tank.
So did he mass shift down to like thumb drive size?
No, he just turned into a giant memory stick. Because he never went to Earth. That just was like his whole storyline is that he was a utility robot before utility robots had rights. So his function was just a storage device. And then the guy who owned him was one of the senators who pushed for rights for, you know, utility robots. And so he treated Rewind real nice and gave him premium Energon until he successfully got, you know, rights and identities for utility robots on Cybertron.
So his alt mode is just, he turns into a stick.
Yeah, like just a big monolith-shaped thing.
And then attaches to a computer.
Pretty much.
Okay. R2-D2. Didn't need to change into anything to just plug himself into a computer. And effectively have the same result.
Yeah, and Rewind never actually transforms in the comics except for once. And apparently that was as I understand it, that was
an accident.
Well, yeah, that apparently was a miscommunication between the artist and the scriptwriter. So Rewind was flying through the air in memory stick mode. Like, as an aircraft. And as I understand it, that was not entirely the intent of that scene. Because, yeah, it's brought up in the books that Rewind's alternate mode is more or less useless for the purpose of what they're doing.
It sounds useless.
Yeah.
It sounds like he should just, like, stick his finger in a hole and have the same effect and not be a Transformer.
I think he can.
Which makes his alt mode even more useless?
Yeah, because, I mean, in the years since he was, you know, a utility thing, he learned how to do stuff better. He's
and
a pretty
then
old
became
robot.
A tank. And then it became a tank, so it's all good.
Well, this isn't an alternate universe.
You're an alternate universe.
I am. I'm a couple alternate universes. But, yeah, there's another character in More Than Meets the Eye who's a psychiatrist whose alt mode is a mystery for a whole lot of the book.
He turn into a couch?
No one can tell what he can turn into, and he has a microphone built into his thumb, and he has a wheel on his back. And then when confronted, he reveals the wheel on his back is actually just a little wheelbarrow attached to his back he can use to carry things around. So when they finally reveal his alt mode, it's discovered that when the functionalists were trying to classify all life on Cybertron, they couldn't figure out what he was for, so he was given the classification of ornament, because he basically just turns into a giant stick.
All right. What are they doing over there?
They're having fun. Having a good time.
What are they doing?
It's worth it.
This is a little off-topic comic book thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just briefly, you heard that they're taking Star Wars away from Dark Horse, and Star Wars comics are going back to Marvel.
Yeah.
Yep. Disney owns everything.
I'm just imagining like that this year of Dark Horse Star Wars comics must be like pretty exciting for people who want to see like writers just pulling the death switch on everything.
Everybody dies.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad the writers get like a year to at least close up whatever they're doing. Mm-hmm. That side of it at least makes it a bit less of a blow, I suppose. But there's no new Star Wars Transformers coming up now that I'm thinking about it. Do you think that sail has finally set for whatever that place is in Middle Earth where people go to not be dead?
That's where elves go.
Yeah. Did the Star Wars Transformers go to join the elves in Lothlorien?
Wait, what? you lost me. What are we talking about?
Are they going to make any more Star Wars Transformers?
Oh, I don't know. You'll have to ask somebody that works at Hasbro.
Ask future Seth.
I don't remember any current Hasbro employees' names after Eric Siebenthaler and Archer took off or were transferred.
I was about to name one that I interviewed.
I don't know the new guys.
And then, for some reason in my head, I substituted the name Greg Grunberg, and that's not right.
That's a cool name, though.
He's the guy who played the psychic on Heroes.
Okay.
I've got Heroes on my mind right now.
Does he have a microphone in his thumb?
No, he doesn't.
Too bad.
I know. What isn't too bad is a strange series of image leaks that came via eBay the other night. These were weird because as I understand it, these images that leaked were internal enough where if the leak was traceable, someone could potentially get in severe, severe trouble. But they came from eBay and they came from a Chinese seller, and apparently they are completely untraceable. So whatever. And these leaks are of what looks like a Generations Leader Jetfire toy that has been rumored ever since the name was found in a database error name list on Hasbro's website back in October. So what this looks like is it's got a very Macross alt mode. Looks like he's got the fast packs and everything, and then his robot mode looks a whole lot like cartoon Jetfire, and then it looks like he's got a helmet you can put on him to make him look even more Robotech. My first thought was maybe this image was so, under wraps because perhaps they were still trying to finalize if this was something they could release without having a whole bunch of trouble from Harmony Gold, who gave them a whole bunch of trouble about the Jetfire G.I. Joe jet that came out, last year. But, then a number of us kind of realized since Hasbro won that legal case, maybe they gave Harmony Gold enough of a legal backhand that they could, without worry, start, finalizing a toy like this. Certainly this toy was in the works before any of that happened, but I suspect that perhaps some of the accessory options were maybe not quite as concrete before they knew they could do it without any trouble. So this guy looks neat. If he's leader size, he should be pretty large, and that would work for, classic Jetfire. I like the lines on him. Can't really tell how he transforms. I'm sure a lot of the robot mode ends up as undercarriage, as you do. But looks like a cool toy. The jet mode looks pretty sweet. Seth, what do you think about these images?
I think this looks awesome. I really hope that some dumb thing doesn't happen behind the scenes and it never comes out, because I think it looks cool as hell. I love how the robot mode looks so much like the old cartoon model, with that sort of square window, like the shorter square window and the kind of squared off torso.
Yeah.
But the jet mode looks like a rounded modern jet fighter. Like mm-hmm. The cockpit is long and or oblong oval shaped, and that is nowhere on his chest.
Yeah, I'm certain that he has like a fake chest. deal going on.
Yeah, a false cockpit hidden. But the fact that they that illusion happens makes it look really cool.
Yeah.
Having those two head options is neat. Yeah, I hope this happens. Now, with that Jetfire, that, what was it, a Voyager class?
Oh,
came
way,
out a bunch of years ago.
Way back in the day, yeah.
Yeah. Now, did Harmony Gold make a fuss over that?
Well, that one didn't...
I'm trying to remember.
That one had a real squared-off
right,
kind of deal on a lot of the more trademark imagery, I think, of the jet mode.
Right. But, you know, when has that stopped anybody at Harmony Gold from raising a fuss? So...
All I got is I don't think that toy that toy came out once, and it didn't really come out ever again outside of BotCon, and then like a black repaint in Japan. So I know I heard the Classics Megatron became off limits right after he came out. It was determined like shortly after that he actually, or the laws changed some, and he became incapable of being released again in the States.
I still have one inbox.
Well, you're a rich man.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this looks rad. And, like, the robot mode, I don't think you could argue looks Macross at all.
Oh, no. No.
Not at all. Maybe you could say something about the jet mode, but I think... But that's claiming any F-16-ish jet is then off limits.
Well, it's
which is ridiculous.
It's as soon as you put the fast packs on it that, like, that's what set Harmony Gold off on that G.I. Joe one. Uh-huh. It was like an F-14 with big boosters on the top. Then they were able to, or at least they thought they were able to go, hey, that's Robotech. So I bet you, like, 2 years ago, whenever development started on this, they created those fast pack accessories, but had planned for them to potentially be nixed. And then I bet you that crushing Harmony Gold in the courts, as I suspect they did, they went full on ahead with just finishing development and adding those fastbacks into the general release. I'd bet a nickel on that.
This is how I picture Harmony Gold. Like, it's a small office in a strip mall. Like, when you see, like, one of those, like, tax adjustment thing, the H&R Block.
Yeah.
And maybe they rent it out to H&R Block during tax season. And it's just like one dude clicking around the internet looking for anything to call the lawyer over.
Well, to their credit is the word I'll use. Apparently they also engage in real estate. Apparently. Amazing. Apparently.
I tried to watch that Shadow Chronicles movie they produced.
Mm-hmm.
I got about 10 minutes in, and I had to pull the ripcord. It was horrendous.
Well, that's what happens when you're a company whose entire business plan is based on legal action, Robotech, and real estate.
The voice acting was awful. The animation was ridiculous. It was just, it was so bad.
I got nothing nice that I want to say about Harmony Gold, and I legitimately have no experience with Shadow Chronicles, and apparently I shouldn't. So I'm okay proceeding without watching that.
Right. Well, all I'm trying to say is Harmony Gold, just chill.
Oh, a lot of people would love it if they would just chill.
And I'm looking forward to this thing coming out. I think it looks rad.
Yeah, I cannot foresee a situation where this toy cannot come out. And I bet you that had this leak not happened, we still would have seen this in like a week at New York Toy Fair.
Right. So, and I really hope you can pull off a Gearwalk mode. Just to troll Harmony Gold a little bit.
Okay, so slight spoiler. I just today got Generations Whirl and Armada Starscream.
Oh boy.
And they both have Gearwalk modes to the point where Whirl has a full on like piece of engineering specifically for a Gearwalk mode. Uh-huh. So if Leader Jetfire doesn't, then either it was a big engineering could not do, or someone just forgot to tell the guy working on it that they got to stick one in.
I don't want to get into what we got too much, but I got that Starscream also.
Aha!
And one of the first things I did was try to figure out a Gearwalk mode. And maybe you did a better job. I was a little disappointed with what I came up with, but you can pull one off.
I found one that even had the proper like A stance on the legs. I gotta remember what I did to get there.
Yeah. But I got something close. It was close. But you know, it's cool.
We'll discuss that.
Yeah, we'll get back to
that. We'll discuss that.
We'll get back to that. We'll get back to
it. Table that for now.
We'll see you in a couple chapters, listener.
We got a whole lot of Japanese stuff to talk about first.
Japanese stuff.
Wonder Festival 2014 is going on right now.
2014, and, y'all.
2014. And we got a whole bunch of coverage up on the site. You know, a lot of the internet was covering Wonderfest, more so for stuff that had nothing to do with Transformers. But Transformers had a surprisingly big showing at Wonder Festival because a whole bunch of licensed third-party stuff showed up there, with companies such as Kotobukiya, Artstorm Future. Good place to start would be the Artstorm and Future stuff. They're the guys who are doing that crazy expensive Ultimetal Optimus Prime. One where you can take pieces off of him and he talks and he's got, you know, lights in him and he's super expensive and made of metal. Yes. But floating next to him is like a to scale Unicron head for like smaller normal toys. And it looks pretty cool and it looks about the size of a human head.
It's not actually floating though, it's on a stand.
I know. I was trying to embellish this a little bit.
That'd be awesome if it like had magnets in it.
Yeah,
it and magnets floats in the base, so it floated on magnet power.
That would be so cool. But yeah, I mean the Ultimetal Optimus Prime. I know I've talked about it on the show with somebody. I can't remember which.
I think it's come up a couple of times.
Yeah, we talked about it, and you know, it. I don't think any of us are really actively looking to buy it, but it is a type of product that has a place in a type of market. I bet you they are not making very many. But, Seth, what do you think about that giant Unicron head?
Now, somebody else showed a big, huge Unicron head not too long ago that had removable parts and you could see, like, some inner workings.
Yeah, that was an unofficial third party, not a properly, not a licensed third party like this one.
I got no need for a giant Unicron head. But if you do, this looks an awful lot like Unicron, so...
I like his expression, because he's like, his teeth are showing, but his mouth is half open, so he's like, "Hah." Like, he looks like he stepped on something, or he tasted something real bad.
Now, if this has, like, some swappable parts, like that unofficial thing, mm-hmm. and you can make it damaged, decapitated Unicron head orbiting Cybertron, I would find that more interesting, personally.
Because
what are you going to do with a pristine decapitated Unicron head?
You wear it. I bet you that they'll have some kind of functionality like that. Because, I mean, they you look at the Optimus Prime standing right next to him with all the panels removed showing the inner workings. Right. I would be incredibly surprised if that was not a feature on that Unicron head, given that the Unicron head otherwise wouldn't really do anything.
It should come with a scale, sweep, and Ghost of Starscream.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. You're correct. It would be cool.
I want lights, too.
Do you know how I know it would be cool?
How?
Because I said so.
Oh!
And then you agreed with me, so we're in agreement. It would be cool.
Renegade!
What?
I got nothing. Going down the list of links I have in the topic list. Now, there are some other Artstorm things and future things in there, but in this news article, you can't see them super well. There's like a little super deformed Rodimus Prime and Optimus Prime. There's like a Grimlock and an Alpha Trion and an Optimus Prime all done in kind of like a similar, like, looks like just normal action figure style. But I think we have better pictures of those down later on. So let's go on to this D-style Optimus Prime. Now, GogDog was all up in the D style. He has like nearly all of them. They're those like super deformed robot model kits Kotobukiya does, and it looks like they got the Transformers license and they're going to do a D style Optimus Prime, and that sounds super cool to me because my brief experience with D style, nowhere near as intensive as Gog's, is that they like Kotobukiya know how to do really good robot model kits that are fun to play with after the fact, and that Kotobukiya's big thing is often they mold everything as like a piece of plastic in the right color. So I imagine that, like, you know, the windows and the waste orange bits and everything are probably all going to be molded pieces. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, D-Style kits are pretty affordable. So can't wait to see how that turns out. Did you ever get deep in the D-Style?
No, I didn't even get shallow into it.
Oh, man. Well, you can't get shallow. It's D-Style.
Oh, okay.
You either get deep in it or your life is devoid of it.
Do you want the D?
Huh?
Do you want the D?
I want the D.
Yeah, you do.
I want any kind of D. Style or not. Huh?
No. Right. I never got any of these. I mean, I remember GogDog posting some pictures of kits he built.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why they are cool. But
yeah,
they just... That sort of thing just had... Didn't appeal to me enough.
Yeah. And is Optimus Prime enough to get you want to try it, or are you going to continue spectating?
I'm going to continue watching from a distance.
All right. Well, something that a lot of us are going to be watching from the... Oh, go ahead.
I don't have anything against them. It's not like it's a statue. Statues are terrible.
It is a preemptive strike against something that I'm pretty sure someone was about to post in the thread, which is, why do you hate D-Style?
I don't hate D-Style. I hate statues.
So why do you hate D-Style?
Statue style.
Statues. Well, this next topic from Wonderfest is pretty important.
Statues.
Because everyone's talking about this thing, especially the clickbait sites, because this is a real clickbait headline. Seth, do you remember the Mega Drive?
Yeah, that's the Sega thing.
The Sega Genesis.
Yeah, that's what they called it in non-American places.
Yeah, so this is again fully licensed stuff. I think Takara Tomy's working on this one themselves in tandem with Sega for the design side of things. But they are making Takara Tomy Arts Mega Drive Megatron. It is Megatron who transforms into a Sega Genesis and a controller.
All right.
I think sounds like a super fun idea.
Do you want to be a more fun idea?
What?
Is if it was bigger and played Genesis carts.
That would make my mind blow.
Because you could get that stuff down, those electronics down, wicked heck of small.
Yeah.
They missed an opportunity.
I kind of wish it was just like Genesis Soundwave.
Uh-huh.
And that technology was in there, and then they made Genesis carts that transformed, but then like along the bottom there was like a tiny little pin connector, so you could stick them in and play Genesis games. Nonetheless, I'm super interested in this thing, and I, for whatever reason, for better or for worse, I often end up buying at least one example of any new, like, weird crossover with something completely irrelevant that Takara Tomy does with Transformers. So, barring some kind of obscene price point, I think I'm going to end up picking this up one way or another.
It's the weirdest idea.
Well,
like, what meeting ended up with this being the plan? It's like...
It's 2014 Sega trying to do anything relevant.
With their 90s...
Anything relevant. System.
It's so weird. I love the Genesis. The Genesis was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I don't know.
I like the Genesis more than the Mega Drive.
I mean, I like that they're doing something so nuts. Like, yeah. I always like it when somebody does something nuts. But it's like, I'm fascinated as to how this happened.
It may have also, on the Takara Tomy side, been the same guy who was like, let's hook up with that designer baseball cap company and make baseball cap Transformers.
But it's like, hey, let's see if we could do something with Sega. Oh, so like, what are we going to do, like, Sonic the Hedgehog? And they're like, no. Hardware system hardware.
That's true. This kind of, I bet you the poor, heavily abused Sonic fandom, you know, they could have really used like a Transformer Sonic crossover.
Yeah, are we going to do something with Panzer Dragoon? No. Console systems.
Well, I did see a great suggestion on Twitter. I forgot where from, but someone was basically saying if they don't do it, a third party has to do it. Some kind of 32X add-on that transformed into, like, armor or something.
That would be amazing.
Or, oh no, 32X and a Sega CD, so you can make the triple-decker system.
Yes.
And then have it turn into, like, a super-powered, like, Super Megatron with all the huge cannons and stuff.
Because this is the version of the Mega Drive / Genesis that's stacked on top of the CD player.
Yeah, this is the proper.
And not the smaller version that sat side by side, which is lame.
Exactly. Thank you, because everyone keeps saying the smaller one's better, and I think they're crazy. Triple-decker.
The smaller one is for people who don't have space.
Yeah.
If you have space, then you want the stacks.
Should be more organized, have more space.
It looks, it's more impressive.
Yeah.
You stack them all up.
Well, if we move on into the fourth link, where we just have some better imagery, if you get down to the bottom, we can actually see a good look at some of those future style, I guess, like the art style figures of Alpha Trion and Grimlock. The Alpha Trion looks kind of cool, because it looks like he comes with spare parts, so you can turn him into, like, A3, and then you can put, like, a different head and different shoulder pads. And then if you want to age him, you can turn him into Alpha Trion. He's got the little A3 head where he just has, like, the tiny mustache.
I'm trying to get to the other side of all these crazy super deformed things.
Oh, they're at the bottom, these ones.
Yeah, I'm just clicking through sequentially.
So
there's more Megatron.
Yep, more big close-ups on Unicron. He's got shattered eyes.
Okay, here we are. Alpha Trion.
Check out that little head.
Yeah.
That's classy.
Choose your beard length.
And then there's a Grimlock as well. He's got, you know, sword and a gun. There's a kind of boring-looking Optimus.
Now, this is something I'm kind of interested in, because I think I remember this is something we talked about in the past. Like, the Reveltech Transformer figures were cool. They're kind of dated now. And I remember, like, stating at some point, like, a new, higher quality, more modern, non-transforming action figure would be something I would be interested in seeing.
Yeah.
And now it looks like we're seeing it.
It does.
So I'm interested in seeing how this develops and what kind of price range it's going to be in. I kind of think that Optimus Prime has like a weird crotch hip situation going on. Doesn't look right.
Yeah, kind of. It looks like they really wanted to maintain the look of the animation model where he just has like the big belt.
Yeah.
for better or for worse.
Now, it looks like it's hinged, so it kind of moves out of the way.
Yeah.
For leg posing, but then it looks more like a skirt.
The next picture shows a colored version where he's got, like, the Matrix gimmick in his chest. It looks like they want to have him potentially light up. And the date says that this Optimus Prime would be coming out in December 2014.
We got time then. We got some time.
There's no date on Alpha Trion, and there's no date on Grimlock either. I bet you those would be 2015 releases. But yeah, Wonderfest had some cool stuff. There's also those weird super deformed Fortress Maximuses, which Big Bad Toy Store has actually gotten a few and sold, and they were super expensive because they were like they're like a dude getting a 1-day license and then like you know casting and painting these in his garage. So there probably are only, like, a handful of each made. Oh, you know what? Near the top, there's another picture of that gigantic action Scorponok. And I forgot which company's doing this now. I think Sentinel's doing it. But it's the enormous, like, in-scale to Fort Max, non-transforming Mega Zerax Scorponok that some company's doing. Fully licensed. Part of the Thrilling 30.
What isn't?
Unlicensed IP infringing third-party items.
But it kind of is.
Sort of, yeah. But they are not right. They do not have the brand, the number 30 with Transformers on top. So you know they're not real Transformers. Unofficial. Do you have any interest in a giant Scorponok? I forgot.
No.
He's got different heads.
It's impressive, but I need not giant things right now.
I need not giant things. Well, yeah, that's that thing is pretty big. I expect it's going to be pretty expensive. I'm going to see how it goes. That's another one of those things that I could end. Oh, looks like it comes with a black Zerak head sculpt as well, or they made a black Zerak head sculpt, so I assume they'll release a black Zerak version.
The close-up of the giant Unicron head makes it look like he has severely chapped lips, the panel lines on his lower lip.
Oh, yeah, it's dry out there. The lip balm police are on their way over to see to his unfortunate situation. He's got a lot of cracking on his face. He's a craggly dude. I really like how his teeth look.
Yeah, they're not bad.
They look like real people teeth.
Well, and if his eyes are all shattered out, then that implies this is decapitated, blown up Unicron?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there'll be some eye options.
I bet you, I mean, there's a big mass in his helmet. I bet you a big chunk of that just comes off. And have a look inside.
There's some hidden dial.
Yeah.
You turn it and the eyes rotate to not shattered eyes. I don't know. Maybe there'll be lights inside.
I should mention, I'll just link you directly to it so you don't have to go digging for it. But there's an Optimus Prime and also a Rodimus Prime done in this, by Future, done in a kind of super deformed style. Future have done super deformed robot figures before in their, I believe, their ES Gokin line. So it looks like they're doing ES Gokins of Optimus and Rodimus. So, those would be pretty cool. They're kind of like nicely fully featured little die-cast heavy robot figures. So, many options to have Optimus Primes of all shapes and sizes. I don't know.
I had nothing to add to that. Yes, there are many options.
I was going to ask if you feel anything by seeing yet another option for Optimus Prime or even Rodimus Prime.
Well, I'm not really into chibi, super deformed stuff. It's just not my bag. The majority of the time. So, I would look at these and I go, something.
You don't like to wet your willy with the chibi?
No. Certainly. You put it that way, extra no.
I don't understand. Well, that's a Wonderfest. There's a lot of Wonderfest news I was really into outside of Transformers, but that's neither here nor there, because none of you want to hear about it, because you're a bunch of jerks. So come find me on Twitter or something. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, come at them, bro.
Yeah, start something. I'll finish it. Whatever you start, I'll finish.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. That's right. I'm going to start something. Listener question.
Start that milkshake. He'll finish it.
That's right. Well, we got a listener question from Starscream 0625, who specifically asked for you, Seth.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't lay it on the even team then.
That's something I got to do once and then get it out of my system. This reads, Hi, Vangelis. I have two listener questions for you and Seth Buzzard. Which, if at all possible, them answered on the podcast itself. Well, they are it them answered on the podcast itself. Number one, what is your opinion on the current state of the Transformers franchise? What do you think Hasbro or Takara could do better and or more of to put the brand where you'd like it to be? Well, number one, I think Takara should merge with a company. Now, there's these kids out there running some Zoids business. They call themselves Tomy. If Takara and Tomy could hook up, I think Transformers could have a real future out there in the land of the rising sun, but that's just me. So, Seth, I don't want to throw you right into the spotlight, you know, perhaps before you've got your makeup on, but what is your opinion on the current state of the Transformers franchise?
I think they're doing some smart stuff. I think it is smart to split like the main line and make it like the simplified thing and the generations line more complicated, older fan / collector. I think that is a good move. But I kind of hope it doesn't lead to like a level of market confusion. Like if they start doing movie figures in both styles, because you'd think that they would want to do movie figures in Generations 2 to make those folks happy, but
yeah,
then that can confuse the parent who's buying a birthday present for little Jimmy.
For sure.
And then they get the wrong kind of Optimus Prime, and then
and then Jimmy's so, like, I can't transform this.
There's five steps for his foot.
No!
Ah, foot. So it'll be interesting to see where they go, like how that all plays out as we go through the movie.
Yeah.
And then as the movie diminishes and whatever the next cartoon is and kind of how, like where they go with Generations, like what lines from, or what styles from the past they focus on. Cause we're seeing all that Beast Wars stuff now and like that Armada Starscream. I think it's cool that it's not, Generations isn't only G1 themed anymore. That it is going other places.
Yeah.
Because there's some really interesting stuff that could be even cooler revamped with modern design. So I think they're in a good place. It's a little different from where they were, so time will tell how it plays. But I think they've made some smart moves in the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they definitely could have hit some real hard times when oil costs were all going up. 2012 was definitely a year of mainline toys that a lot of people didn't really enjoy. Like, you know, that was the Bruticus year. And I think that they came out of that pretty strong and decently fast. I mean, like, we had 2012's toys that were the worst affected were the video game toys. And a lot of people just didn't really enjoy them.
Disappointed by a bunch of that stuff.
Yeah, and that was 2012. And then we hit 2013, and the video game toys, you could see even in the redecos, there was this marked improvement of, if not color work, then everyone getting some kind of big-ass weapon, because budget is starting to come back again. And then you hit, like, you know, Kickback and Starscream, and it feels like things are getting back on track. You hit Orion Pax, and, like, I think we're back to a proper, decent status quo with him. So I think that the state of the Transformers franchise right now is fine. It's out of, I think, a much darker time it was in 2012 when, you know, they were trying to figure out how to deal with stuff costing more money. A lot of things that had been telegraphed to us at BotCons prior, before. And I'm just glad that we're through all that. I've always said I still kind of dug Bruticus as like a doofy, like, kid's toy, but he certainly wasn't anything that I could tell someone they should have liked. I guess that can take us into the, I mean, yeah, we're going to have a movie, so we'll see how the movie goes. I am super curious about how movie stuff that isn't simplified is going to go. Cause, you're right, Seth. It could, like, I think it depends on like how the packaging looks for one, like if everything's going to unify into that big impact font, or is Generations going to stay in like a red packaging. I mean, Star Wars has its own system, which is the Black Series, only that system results in just, like, kind of really boring packaging, which I hope we don't go into.
Well, and like I've repeated several times, and I think everybody kind of understands by now,
yeah,
like, Hasbro's doing this with a lot of their stuff. So, it's like every property has the simple version, and then the more elaborate collector version.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars, Marvel, and then Marvel is broken up into all these different things. Like Iron Man is separate, Spider-Man is separate, Captain America is separate.
Yeah.
And then you also have the Marvel Legends and I think where Transformers is different, and again, I've said this before, I apologize, dear listener, if this all sounds awfully familiar.
I believe he's repeating himself.
Yeah. But where Transformers is different is with all those other lines, they can do like your Luke Skywalker in both versions, and Stormtrooper in both versions, and Captain America in both versions, and every single of the 500 Iron Mans in both versions, and they're not doing that right now with Transformers.
And I think
the stuff in Generations is completely different than the stuff in Mainline.
And also with Transformers, not to belittle, you know, like what the other toy lines are, but a Transformer is a gajillion times more intricate a toy to engineer than a Star Wars figure. And so I feel like it's even more impressive that we're getting that split with Transformers, given how they're just like, they're harder toys to manufacture in many ways.
Yeah, and it's almost like they've chosen the comics to be the collector thing, while any video media, movies and cartoons are going to be the kid thing.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily, or it doesn't at all work 100% across the board. You're going to have collector, older adult fans who are going to want movie and cartoon figures that aren't simple.
Yeah, I mean,
I think things can get sticky for them.
I am ready for it not to happen, but I really hope there are two movie Autobots in the upcoming film that I would love complicated deluxe figures of.
Optimus Prime and Bumblebee.
That's right. No, I'm not talking about that. Drift. Oh,
those are the ones you're going to get.
Drift and Crosshairs. If I can get complicated Drift and Crosshairs, I will be a happy person.
You're going to get Optimus Prime and Bumblebee.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if they can do that new Optimus in a way that doesn't have horrifying chrome all over it, that could be neat. That chrome is terrible. But moving on into the second part of the question, I guess, because like, this is not two questions. This is like a two-part question and then another question. It's three questions. What do you think that Hasbro Takara Tomy could do better and or more of to put the brand where you'd like it to be, Seth? Something, something hollow forearms.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, yeah, I would like to see a return of flaps that cover that stuff up. But, you know, there's been some current examples where it's not too egregiously awful. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I have any real ideas. I mean, except for make more stuff that I personally like, but then that's kind of crazy.
That would make the brand better.
Well, right now the thing that's bugging me the most with on-the-shelf Transformers is I can't find nothing.
Yeah.
And that's not Hasbro or Takara's problem. That's stores not ordering stuff
in general, like not just Transformers, toys in general. If there was if there was someday some kind of power shift that gave the toy companies and the manufacturers a little bit more power to be like, they wouldn't need to have a full-on like blockbuster movie coming out to be able to say we want to have a street date on our toys, that would be kind of cool.
Oh, it's just, it's awful right now around here. And like, there was a dude posting in the thread for the Last Odd episode who is having a similar problem, but it's like,
yeah.
Toys R Us has never restocked since Christmas, Transformers at any rate. The only Generations they have are all the Voyagers that nobody seems to want, and so many Ultra Magnus. And then the Targets around here, and there's three Targets like in relatively easy to get to distance. One of them put out like two cases of the Generations wave of Skids. And by the time I saw it, all that was left was one Waspinator, a bunch of Goldfire, and a bunch of Dreadwings. Yeah. And then my girlfriend bought the Waspinator, then the Goldfires disappeared, then the Dreadwings disappeared. Then I go back to that Target, and I find one Armada Starscream. And the other Targets nearby, I never found any of that stuff. So that wave with skids is probably going to be like a lost wave around here.
Yeah, and I'm really with you. I think that the one thing absolutely that I'd want to see it change is somehow finding a nicer distribution model than relying on the warehouses that the big retailers cull from. And it's not like the problem with this is it's like it's one thing to say I want the toys I want to be on shelves more, but it's like it's more so about you got to get like that big horrible machine that is like, you know, Walmart and Toys R Us and Target. Like if somehow that side of things needs to change, and I honestly don't know how because I barely understand how it works. But I mean, not just Transformers, there are a lot of toy lines that just don't like it's always like these lurches. It's like the distribution machine is this enormous like octopus that drags itself forward every couple months, and then like sits there for a bit while it's collecting all its legs together, and it goes moves itself forward for another couple months. And then, like I said, the only time it seems to go under any kind of direct control is when a giant blockbuster movie is about to come out. And that's it.
And I don't know what's happening at Kmart, but something I noticed a couple weeks ago is all the Star Wars toys have disappeared. At least at this Kmart, there is no Star Wars toys.
That's crazy!
There aren't even empty... It's not like there's empty pegs that say Star Wars on them. There's no empty space in the toy aisle. Star Wars is just gone. And when I realized it, I was like, what are they doing?
What reality am I in right now?
What are they doing here? Is Kmart trying to lose their last couple stores?
You know what the worst selling toy line the last couple years? Star Wars.
Yeah, nobody likes Star Wars.
Just cut Star Wars out of this, you know. That's insane.
Yeah, it's just, it's all gone.
Maybe it all sold. I mean, you know, could have, I don't know.
Well, then you would expect there to be empty pegs that say Star Wars this and Star Wars that. And just before Christmas, they had like two Kmart exclusive sets. And there's just nothing now. There's absolutely nothing Star Wars there.
That's crazy. It's crazy. There's always Star Wars somewhere. Even, like, you know, dinky Star Wars toys are somewhere.
So, yeah.
Man, that's nuts.
Like, if you're gonna have action figures, you get the Star Wars ones.
Yeah. And, like, especially since, like, the kiddie Star Wars toy, like, side of toys right now is, like, every single act, like, or at least for a little while, what was it? Like, every action figure also comes with a spare action figure. Like, what was it, Clone Troopers or something? I just remember seeing tons of two-packs.
I don't know.
So, I mean, it's looked like...
I've only been looking for the 6-inch Black Label. Anything besides that, I just haven't really been paying attention to.
Yeah. Anyway, there was one more question from Starscream 0625, which is, from both a legal and personal standpoint, how do you feel about third-party transforming toy robot companies? Thanks, Starscream 0625. So, Seth, on a legal end and on a personal end, how do you feel about third-party transforming toy robot companies?
Legally, I think they're a bunch of shenanigans. Like, when we refer to them as IP infringing, that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
they are making original things that look so much like this thing that already exists and is owned by somebody else that, yeah, I mean...
I think it's important to not dance around that a whole lot either, because, like, sometimes you gotta say, like, I mean, I like tons of them. I am, you know, on friendly terms with people who make them. I don't think anyone involved with that whole scene would be is offended or upset if you say, oh, yeah, it infringes IP, because it does.
Yeah, to be completely honest, they're doing stuff they probably shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, it's just kind of crazy that for, like, now we're going on 6 years of the heaviest activity, they're able to kind of just keep going on and keep doing it.
Yeah. And then personally, like, my moral line is... I believe there's a difference between the third-party transforming toys that are infringing IP and the straight-up knockoffs.
Yeah.
And like my personal morality is if it is in packaging that is designed to confuse the purchaser into thinking they were buying something original, either because it's like a knockoff G1 toy in a G1 style box, or even if it's a completely original mold in packaging that looks official, that looks like Takara packaging or looks like Hasbro packaging. That's where I personally draw my own moral line. As soon as you try to confuse the buyer beyond just making this look like the character they already know, then that's where I get squigged out and don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah, like going off that, for me, the way I put it together is I don't like people who like straight up swipe engineering from another toy engineer. Or, you know, like the IP side of it, that it's a very business thing. It's my understanding that any third party transforming toy company that does something that isn't G1 currently, and somewhat provenly, is taking an enormous risk, because a huge majority of the vocal people who buy into that scene just want the G1. That's all they want. If you do anything original, they don't want it, or they'll say, "Who's that supposed to be?" And so you can say, "Oh yeah, it's supposed to be, I guess, Ultra Magnus or something." So yeah, it's like G1 or nothing. And you know, and so as long as you're not like pulling an iGear where they like were pretty much just making masterpiece Starscreams in different colors. You know, as long as there's creativity to your engineering and you clearly have a love for what you're doing, then I'm fine with it. Because that, to me, is one of the best parts of this. It's letting a lot of very talented people, like get into the scene where they can actually design and engineer and produce and mass produce something that they created on a physical level. And it's often done. In many cases, it is still by someone who is a fan of the source material. So they want to make money, but it's coming from a place that also kind of is making something they think is cool, and I like that too. On a business level, I just always hope that a lot of, at least that some of the best third parties we know, and I really want to get that out of my lexicon. I hate the term third parties. It's becoming the stupidest thing. But a lot of those companies, I really hope they have a plan for when the legal glass ceiling does break, and I believe very much that someday it will break. Even though we're past the 5-year mark, someday it will come crashing down. And I hope a lot of them have a plan, because a lot of those people are super talented. And I also hope that, especially Fans Project, because they're able to get away with doing it a lot of the time without taking a huge hit, I hope a lot of them can keep seeding in the idea of fully original character and IP designs into the toys they're making, to kind of, I guess, immunize the greater buying public to the idea that maybe some of these toys are really cool because of how they're created, less so because they're also looking like Transformers. Steelcore being my easiest example. So I don't know. Yeah, like on a personal level, I think they're fine, as long as the designers are doing something they love and they aren't just doing, you know, a resin casting of an existing toy or something. It's cool. Like, a lot of people argue, they say, no, they're all knockoffs, and it's a conversation I literally cannot participate in anymore, because it's stonewalled. There's no give or take, I find, in that conversation, and I very much disagree with it. To kind of write off original engineering as knockoff
Right.
because of the IP it infringes.
Yeah, for me, a knockoff is the original mold. And maybe it's lost some articulation, it's probably lost some detail. Like they probably took an original toy and made a mold off of it, so it's not as good. Like I'm looking across at a shelf of figures, and I have a knockoff Grimlock up there. It is a straight up knockoff, and it came in a knockoff box. Now, the way it was being sold is it was being sold as a knockoff. The person selling it wasn't trying to pawn it off as anything it wasn't. And it was like $10 or something.
Yeah.
I was more okay with the idea there. But like we've seen at BotCons, dudes trying to hawk knockoffs in that way as though they were original.
Yeah.
And that is dirty, super dirty.
No, it's I mean that is despicable, because that is trying to say, I have toy X, but you don't. Yeah. And you're trying to convince someone they're getting a good deal on toy X, and they're not, because they're not getting toy X.
Yeah, you're taking advantage of somebody's ignorance.
Yeah.
And that's not good business. Now, a lot of this third-party stuff I really like. And I would be a little bummed if it all went away, because Hasbro and or Takara brought that hammer down. But in the end, I couldn't blame them for doing it.
No.
Like, if Hasbro made a big push and they were like, okay, we're going to cut this off, or we're going to do everything we can to cut it off, it's like, I'd be a little disappointed, because I like that stuff, but I go, well, you know, they got to do what they got to do. And that's what they got
to
do.
Yeah, if that day came, or when that day comes, to throw outrage at Hasbro, unless they do it in some way that is, like, you know, villainous in terms of, like, I don't know, like, straight up trying to arrest people who own the toys or something, which I heavily doubt.
I don't know how you go about doing that.
Like,
I could see them putting the lien on, like, online sellers, like places like Big Bad Toy Store,
yeah,
and TF Source. It, like, say, like, you keep carrying this stuff, we're going to cut you off from our official product.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I think that is a legitimate strategy for battling this sort of thing. Because I'm sure they have very little ability to reach these companies, the majority of which are in China.
Yeah.
And have any sort of recourse there. Like, from my understanding of the Chinese legal system, there's nothing they could do.
Yeah.
And I have very little understanding of the Chinese legal system.
I have zero, aside from hearsay.
Yeah, well, like, so supposedly, so I listened to a thing about the early days of American business going into China, like late 80s sort of time frame.
Yeah.
And how a big company like McDonald's or Marlboro or somebody would sign contracts and then find that their Chinese partners were now not honoring the contracts, and just the way contracts are seen in the Chinese legal system as, well, that was the agreement then, but now we changed it. And they're not as binding as they are in the West. So, you know, like, based on stuff like that, I just, yeah. I don't know if it's realistic to think, like, Hasbro could go in with a team of lawyers and start making any progress at all. Maybe they could have some sort of lien on the factories producing the stuff, but then isn't Hasbro starting to move out of China and into Vietnam?
Yeah. I mean, it's not even a case where I think I could even tell you how the crackdown would happen.
Yeah, I think the only real strategy would be to target the sellers.
Yeah.
And then, okay, maybe you get Big Bad Toy Store to stop, but then somebody starts up a new web store that is only doing third-party kind of stuff and has no interest in carrying official Hasbro merchandise.
Yeah.
And then all the business just goes to somebody else, and then they don't have any. It's like going after Napster. Okay, yeah. you destroyed Napster, now you have to deal with Kazaa. Okay, you dealt with Kazaa, now you have to deal with this thing.
Lime
now
wire, you have to deal e-donkey. With
the, yeah. And it just keeps going and going forever, and you're never going to win.
Yeah. And I mean, even if that were to happen, the only thing I could think I would do is try to find out what those companies are going to work on in lieu of things that look like Transformers. Because as a fan of the work of the people who design those toys, I'd want to keep following their work, and I'd want to promote it. And I'd want to tell people, hey, they're making this cool robot that turns into a spaceship. If you like transforming toys, and if you liked, like, you know, Mastermind something or other, that dude's working on this spaceship now. And I mean, I know there'd be probably less interest because a lot of people just want their Transformers, but
yeah.
I'm hoping someday the environment can change where those guys can work on, I'm not saying they're not working on what they want to work on, But eventually a day will arrive where certainly some of those dudes and dudettes will want to be working on something that isn't a Transformer character. Like, they might have a, you know, a robot character of their own they'd love to make a toy of. And I feel that it's kind of criminal right now that that's basically financial suicide in the way that the market is right now. Because, I mean, I want someday for those companies to just be indie transforming robot toy companies in, like, the common lexicon, so we can ditch all this, like, often completely misunderstood use of the term third party.
Yeah. But... yeah, like, I've cheerleaded the idea of these companies doing original stuff, but I'm also part of the problem in that I've never bought any of their original stuff, so...
I mean, just cheerleading is good enough. I mean, like, the hard part of this whole discussion is, like, at the end of the day, you also got to be able to tell people, if you just don't like what the non-Transformer thing looks like, that's not you being wrong. You know, like, if someone just doesn't like what Steel Corps looks like... I'm not going to yell at them that they still got to buy it anyway for the betterment of the whatever, you know?
Yeah, I almost would want to... I think it'd be interesting to see one of these companies, like Perfect Effect or whoever. What's their names doing Steel Corps? I'm blanking on names all
Fans
of a sudden.
Fans Project.
Fans Project, or like one of these guys. They've got incredible sculptors and great engineer... to try some maybe not transforming stuff that has a lower part count and then like step up a budget on paint and do something like what was that? That Acid Rain.
Yeah, yeah.
Or do something kind of more along the level of weathering and paint that you see in like 3A stuff.
Yeah.
And not go toe to toe, and not now all of a sudden they're infringing on Ashley Wood IPs.
Just start making World War robot toys.
Yeah, like this is like, our version of the Armstrong. It's like, called
no, guys, that's not what we meant.
The Legstrong.
Yeah. That's not what we meant at all. Oh no, what have we done?
No, the Legstrong is completely different than the Armstrong. What are you crazy?
Oh no! Oh no! They listen to us, but they listen to us wrong.
No, we understand that looks like a bramble, but that's a ramble.
The Iron Koala Ramble?
Yeah.
I wonder how Ashley Woodward would react to that, being a somewhat unique personality type that he is.
I couldn't even begin to guess.
Dude starts designing for those companies.
Yeah, it would either be, I'm flattered and there's room for everybody, or it would be, like, going completely bananas.
I just imagine, in some way, I almost imagine him going like, oh, someone else can handle World War Robot, excellent, here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go do this other weird thing and
I'm
gonna make more feet.
Yeah. And some company starts making feet, he just flips out. That's not the right shoe! Yeah, anyway. I got more I could probably say if I went back and listened to what I said, but I'm not gonna. I'm just gonna say, hope we answered your question, Starscream0625. We're gonna take a quick intermission break, then we're gonna talk about some what we got this week, and it sounds like we might be even talking about Transformers. So get ready for that. And Seth.
Hi.
Could you make me some coffee?
Okay. I hope you like it.
We'll see.
Wonderful anniversary, dear, and thank you for the flowers.
You're welcome, darling. But if you could do one thing for me.
What?
Try to do something about your coffee.
I hoped it would be better today.
Oh, no.
What's wrong?
Oh, it's your coffee again. The desk sergeant at the station makes better coffee than this.
How can such a pretty wife make such bad coffee?
Forget the coffee, Marge. It's never very good.
But Phil, I'll
get some at the plant.
Did you ever see Larry looking so happy?
Oh, honey, happiness is a vacation. Away from your coffee.
Oh, this coffee is criminal.
Honey, you killed the petunias.
Then you admit it. Your coffee really is murder.
Honey,
Your coffee just doesn't taste any good.
2:28.
Cinema.
Optimus,
All I ever wanted was the survival of our race. You must see why I had to betray you.
You didn't betray me. You betrayed yourself.
No, Optimus!
Ugh. Ugh. It's coffee. Ugh. Ugh. Seth, your coffee is terrible.
Oh, I can't do nothing right. I'm just a dummy.
Well, you know what you can do right? Buy toys. So let's talk about what we got this week.
Depends on who you ask.
No, you're doing it right. You're doing a good job. Keep it up. We're going to talk about Transformers we got this week.
Okay.
So, Seth, I want to know what Transformers you got this week, and if you got ones I got this week, I'm just going to butt in and talk about it, too.
I got Transformer this week.
Oh!
So, as we've alluded to already, Armada Starscream from Generations.
Yeah.
I have Diesel in my pile of loot. I'm waiting for there to be anything else in my pile of loot, so I don't pay more shipping than I need to.
Understandable.
I rush shipped a Crank and Stax and to get them here in time when they became available, and now I'm waiting on Diesel.
Hey, you gave us one.
Yeah.
That's up to us to wait for the next one. All right.
So hopefully something becomes available soon. So yeah, I found Armada Starscream against all odds. Well, actually, I should say my girlfriend spotted it first. And she went, "Do you have this one yet? This doesn't look familiar." And I went, "Holy crap, where'd you get that?"
Where'd you find this?
It was sitting right here. Is there anything else? And that was the only deluxe generation figure they had.
Do you know what that means? That means someone specifically bought Skywarp instead of it. Someone was insane.
Well, and then I did see more from that wave at another Target a day or two later, which sort of counteracts something I was saying earlier. But they had two Skywarps and a Starscream. So I've seen Skywarp too, but I'm passing on those Fall of Cybertron Seekers.
Yeah, it's not a bad toy, but you're also not missing anything.
Yeah. And then, so I was explaining to her how the Seekers work and being repaints. And in anticipation of a Skywarp and a Thundercracker Armada. And if that happens, I really hope they do the mold changes for the Skywarp.
Yes.
And not just straight up paint them different colors.
Mohawk.
And then I'm not sure if I really am that psyched to get this mold three times. I think it's a good figure.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. I just don't know if I need Thundercracker and Skywarp.
Well, it's totally the one character.
Yeah.
And in the show, when he had his best moment, he was colored like Thundercracker. So I'm okay with that one. But, yeah, if Skywarp is just a black and purple version of this, I'm super not as interested whatsoever.
Yeah. And, I mean, it would just be cool if they did the remold stuff.
Yeah.
Which I remember at the time I was a little annoyed with, because I wanted the Three Seekers to look the same.
Yeah.
At the time, but, you know, now you got to stick with the history.
Well, now you're wiser. And you know what the right choice of action is.
Yeah. I really love that he doesn't have this big giant thing sticking straight out his back full of electronics like the original figure.
Yeah, and it folds down, too.
Yeah. And I always wanted the original figure to have a hinge to fold that thing down. I couldn't figure out why you couldn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good... I think it's a good figure. I there was a lot about that design that I liked, going back to Armada. I think it's an interesting futuristic jet design that works. Now, if I remember right, the arms folded up on the original toy into just sort of like these little pods under the wings.
Yeah, they just sort of folded straight up like accordion style and just sort of sat there.
Yeah, so it's cool that they more kind of hug the sides.
Yeah.
And disappear. And it doesn't so much... And the design works in that it doesn't just look like a jet with a box of robot underneath.
Yeah.
Like things... Things all meld in pretty good. So I'm pretty happy with it. I think they did a good job. I like that jet design. It looks cool. And it looks like plausible science, futuristic jet.
Mm-hmm.
Like that looks like a design that has some possible reality to it. I mean, I don't expect there to ever be a fighter jet that looks like that. But if there was, it looks like it could actually work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a pretty cool figure.
I am way more into this figure than I thought I would be. Especially given, you know, that he's extremely red, and like the what paintwork there is on him looks way better in person, especially on the face. Like just having that really nice shade of gray painted over a lot of the face does a lot for this guy. What else was I going to say? His missile launcher gimmick. I knew the missiles launched, but I didn't know how.
Uh-huh.
And I freaked myself out when I accidentally shot myself in the face with them. Because I was pushing on the orange things, and I was like, oh, that's cool. The yellow intake stuff pops forward, like, you know, kind of representing the old Minicon gimmick where those things would turn into super cannons. And I pushed them a little bit harder, and I had no idea that those were pressure missiles. And, they work. They, at least at a short range, they do work. Yeah,
and that's the sort of shooting missile gimmick that I prefer. It's when springs are involved that bums me out.
Mm-hmm.
Like those pressure type missiles, you leave them in there, they're fine. They're not going to shoot off by accident.
Yeah.
Like you got to want them to shoot off. Or you're not going to accidentally brush the button slightly and then it's going to go.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's nothing that can be messed up with tolerances in the springs or whatnot either.
Right.
The other thing I really like are his ball-jointed wings are super cool. Because, like, yes. Number one, they're expressive. But number two, now, I didn't know this, but his swords actually do fold up to store under the wings.
Yeah.
And then if you want to, if you're a weird person like me, if you give him one of his swords, thanks to the ball-jointed wings, he can fold one of the wings against his body and then down so it's out of sight. So it looks like his wing did come off to transform into the sword.
Ah, which was... I haven't tried that.
I just discovered it like a minute ago. And it was one of my favorite visual ideas of the Armada design of Starscream. And I was kind of bummed out that there... And I didn't think there's any way they could have got it to work on a deluxe. But... I was like, oh man, I wish his wings could come off to blah, 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 and you can fold them away, and it totally works. It's a super good toy. If it had a waist joint, I'd be telling people they'd be fools not to buy it. As it is, it's still a really good toy. And he accomplishes a lot. And I still kind of want to get the Takara version if it ends up looking even more like the Armada version in the paint apps it receives. But the American version is by no means as dull looking as it looked in promo photography.
Yeah, and like as I was telling her, like supposedly Takara is going to do a version with a color scheme that's more accurate to the original toy, but that's going to cost a lot more, and I don't think that change in colors is worth the cost increase for me.
Yeah.
So I am fine with this version.
Yeah.
At this price.
He's a lot more interesting than I was expecting. The only real problem I have is that it's clear that like the two pegs under his cockpit are supposed to peg into the front of his crotch. And then they kind of don't. They just sort of mush and then nothing happens. But I don't really... mind, it's not like the thing flops around despite the lack of connection, so it's kind of a moot issue. I really like the hoses that get revealed when you move his arms outwards. like the yellow hoses. That's a super cool detail. So yeah, it's a good toy. I like it.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you didn't find anything else from the wave.
No.
So
just the Skywarp, which I'm passing on.
Yep. Okay. You know what? I got Skywarp. I opened him up, and he certainly is that toy again.
Yep. That's what I would figure it would be.
And like, he's not. He's barely even in Dark Cyber. I don't even remember him being in Dark Cybertron. He comes with an issue of Dark Cybertron, but I got no idea where he is in there. Poor Skywarp. No one cares about him.
He's invisible.
Yeah, exactly. Invisible. Cloaking device is on.
Yep.
You couldn't find anything else from the wave. Did you get any other Transformers this week?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, I'm not gonna talk about everything I got because I don't want to. I talked about Skywarp, so I'm gonna cut him from the list. The main thing I'd like to talk about is another one of the Generations Deluxes, the other one a lot of people are after, which is Scoop, the orange truck who comes with two Target Masters. Much like Starscream, I was pleasantly surprised by how much Scoop does, because much like Starscream, he looks like potentially a super dull toy.
Yeah, from the pictures we've seen, looking at it, my impression was he looks very simple.
Yeah, and as someone who, you know, like, if you put aside whether you like construction vehicles or jets more, objectively, I could not tell you which one of the two toys is better. They both have a lot of, like, a similar list of qualities, and, numerically similar list of qualities and downsides. First big surprise, his two Target Masters, like, they look like a pair of bricks, right? Like, they look like they lie down and you fold a gun barrel out and they're guns. Number one, they got ball-jointed shoulders with a very vaguely decent amount of outward range, so they can kind of be expressive. And then when they turn into guns, there's actually a whole lot, like, their arms actually tab together or behind their back. So there's a lot of solidity to how they turn into guns. And then to combine them, there's a super solid tab you can use on either one to click them into each other. So I was kind of surprised by how thoughtful they felt for what I assumed were going to be kind of throwaway accessories. And they got a bunch of decent paint apps, too, to give him some character. Scoop himself has, like, his transformation conceptually is, like, dead simple, right? It's like you unfold the legs and then, like, flip his torso up and that's about it. But, like, a lot of the really good animated toys, the engineering is really thoughtful. So there are a lot of, like, it's easy to do, but every step you do is kind of interesting. Like right down, like he has like his chest plate folds down, for instance. And then like, the, what do you call it? The cab piece and like the shovel have like a huge amount of folds to all like kind of curl up into this really tight backpack on his back. So that was kind of impressive. His posability, if he had like slightly better ankles, his posability would be like almost perfect. In fact, if his rear wheels, like, could fold around to the back of his shins, I would call him a must-have toy, no questions asked. But he's still really good. And the one last thing he does that's really interesting to me is everywhere that could have just been, like, a hollow inside bit of leg or arm or, like, whatever, like, even when you fold down the front of his chest for the transformation, whoever sculpted him sculpted, like, machinery detail in every single crevice of the toy. And it's really, really cool to look at. Like, even when you peer inside the tiny crevices his hands fold out of, there's, like, all these, there's, like, a little like, conveyor belt in there, like, a motor belt, and then, like, an axle. So there's a lot of sculpted detail on him. He's got decent proportions, his posability's pretty good, his transformation's pretty fun for a simple thing. I would put Scoop easily on par with Armada Starscream. Like, he really impressed, and I was not expecting much of anything from him. So, definitely worth tracking down, especially if you do dig Armada Starscream. I can't see Scoop being a markedly poorer experience. So I hope you can find him, Seth.
Yeah, that was one of the figures I was thinking I'll decide if I really want it when I see it.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't impressed by the pictures.
Me neither.
But two Target Masters is awesome.
Yeah. And they're both, I'll look at them, they are both completely unique. Like, every piece of them is unique, except for the handle. So that's kind of cool.
Oh. So cheap.
Yeah, I know.
Identical the handle's handles. The most important part.
Identical handles. Thanks, Hasbro.
That's where all the character is in the handle.
That's where I look for the character.
You're the character.
Yeah. I also got the Minicon team, but I don't want to just, like, blab about my own toys for ages. Quick capsule on them is that they're my favorite deluxe of this wave of deluxes, but they're not the best deluxe of this wave of deluxes. They just hit all the keynotes I wanted them to hit, and I really like the concept of what they do.
They're your favorite, but they're not the best.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's like the movie that wins Best Picture, but the director doesn't win Best Director.
Yeah. Oscars, something, something. Like, they're really cool. It's like a really well-done combining Minicon team, if not the best combining Minicon team. And then they're all a bit bigger. They're all more like Cyberverse size. So, huh. I kind of want to buy a second one, just because these are supposed to be also Ammonites from the current comic book stories. And the Ammonites are these robots who can transform infinitely, and they can combine infinitely. Like, that's their whole claim to fame. There's a scene where a couple of Autobots meet them in a bar on a planet and try to kind of have a big dick-waving contest about how great Cybertronians are, and the Ammonites are all like, how many modes you got? One guy's like, I'm a triple changer. Like, yeah, I'm a six changer. Buddy over here is a seven changer.
That's not infinite.
And if we combine together, we're a 10 changer.
That's not infinite either.
Well, they get up to the point of saying that they can transform or combine however many times they want to. So because these guys have lots of Minicon and 5mm ports and pegs on them, I kind of want to see if there's a way to just buy like two or three copies of the Minicon team and just kind of kludge them together into weird like combinations. Seems like it could be a neat thought experiment for myself.
All of them just end up being spaceship.
Big because alien that's spaceship.
That's the easiest thing to fake.
Alien spaceship.
This one's an alien cruiser. this is an alien the battleship. This one's an alien cargo ship.
The big thing to do is try to make them into a quadruped so I can say they're an alien creature.
This one's an alien dog. This one's an alien cat. This one's an alien tiger.
Fox. The ears are different.
This one's a lizard from an alien planet.
That's going to be me next BotCon. I'll be in my own corner.
This one's an alien tank. The twist is one of the parts is also a tank.
One of these guys is a tank?
This is just a bigger tank.
Just pile all the other ones on top of him into a big shape. He's got wheels at the bottom.
I got 10 sets, and this space tank is made of 10 space tanks. I call it the 10-to-tank.
Oh my god! He has a port on the bottom and a peg right above it. I could technically just stack the tanks infinitely.
Tanks all the way down.
That's right. Tanks. Nothing but. It's a 10-layer tank. Anyway, I got some other stuff, but I've only just opened a lot of it, so I kind of want to mess with some more of it a little bit more, get a better comprehensive feel on it. Initial impressions on Perfect Effect Warden are that he feels super friggin' slick. So, I'm impressed so far. That really does it for my Transformers gets, which I suppose could take us into the world of off-topic. So, Seth Buzzard, I want to know if you bought anything that wasn't a Transformer this last week.
I did.
Well.
I got one of those Marvel Legend figures we were talking about.
So, are they the ones in the fancy new boxes?
Yeah, and this is from... Okay, so there's Spider-Man ones.
Yep.
Captain America ones. And I believe there's Iron Man ones, but I haven't seen them yet. I think on the Entertainment Earth podcast, Adam Paulus was talking about Iron Man once.
Yeah, Craig Moore from formerly Frooshcast, now what's his, Repact podcast now, was trying to sell me on the Spider-Man ones, and he's telling me all about the new like business model for Marvel Legends. It sounds very interesting.
Yeah, so they're all build a figure, but each wave. Okay, so it's weird. So the Captain America wave has a Captain America, and then the other two figures are actually four other figures. So there's Red Skull, Hydra Soldier, Red Skull and a Hydra Soldier, Baron Zemo, AIM Soldier. And so the Hydra guy and Red Skull come with an arm, same arm.
Yeah.
So if you get both, then you have two left arms. And then you get Zemo and the Hydra guy, then you have two right arms. By Captain America, you get the head. Now you have to wait for Wave 2 to get the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, Wave 2 of Captain America is now movie Captain America, where Wave 1 is like Marvel Now Captain America.
Yeah.
Black Widow, Winter Soldier. So if you buy all the figures, which is 5, 6, 7, 8 figures, or 9, whatever, you're going to end up with two extra arms, which I think would be a bummer.
Yeah.
Now, here's where I think the packaging is weird. This is what I've seen on the Captain America ones. I've noticed it on the Spider-Man ones, where on the packaging, they list a figure as being two different things. So, like, Red Skull, Hydra Soldier, and Spider-Man. I think it's Firefly is the character's name. And another dude in armor. And then there's, like, the black and white costume Spider-Woman and Black Cat. Those characters that are, like, doubled up, their names aren't on the packaging.
Yeah.
So the Red Skull figure is just Agents of Hydra. The Spider-Woman, Black Cat, or Skyline, or something like that. And it seems really weird to me to not have the character names on the packaging.
Yeah, I saw the AIM operative, like the yellow bucket head guy.
Yeah.
I saw him at Toys R Us today, or the other day. I can't remember if it was today or yesterday.
Well, so the Baron Zemo AIM guy, that's like Agents of AIM, or AIM operatives, something like that, which works for the AIM guy, but doesn't work at all for Baron Zemo.
No, I was really confused as to why Baron Zemo was being called an agent of AIM. I was like, when?
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Yeah, I'm sure there's been a storyline or two where Zemo has been affiliated with AIM or allied with AIM, but I don't consider Zemo to be a member of AIM, like a regular AIM guy. So
yeah, it sounds like, because I know they've been doing this ever since the carded Legends as well, and it's, I'm sure there's some kind of business reason that makes sense if it was explained to me. I just don't know what it is, because it seems super weird.
Yeah, I just think it's strange.
Yeah.
Hey, at least movie Electro gets his name on the package.
Saw him. I kind of want him. He looks neat.
Yeah, I've seen that one a couple times. I've seen Amazing Spider-Man and Superior Spider-Man figures a couple of times.
Yeah, this is the ones Craig wants me to get.
Yeah, I don't know. It just didn't really get me that fired up.
Well, how much are they in the States?
Man.
Well, why don't I tell you how much they cost in Canada after taxes?
I don't remember really looking at the price, and I bought a couple other things at the same time.
It's something like $20, right?
Yeah, I think around there. I think they're about the same cost as like the Star Wars Black Label stuff.
So in Canada, at Toys R Us, if you see those toys, after taxes, they cost $30.
Much less impulse.
Yeah, I've seen Superior and Amazing a whole bunch of times, and I was like, I literally cannot see how I can ever spend $30 on this. So I need to just wait. If I really want them, I'll wait until I see them in the States.
Yeah, and kind of where I was with these is I have a couple of, like, going back to Toy Biz era Marvel Legend Captain Americas. So I feel like I've got my 6-inch Captain America thing handled until, like, one of the Japanese companies do a Captain America. Like, if,
if the Figma one ever comes out.
Yeah, Figma or Mayfix. If one of them do a Captain America, then maybe I'll be interested. But I feel like I got my 6-inch American Captain America's covered.
My Japanese Captain America.
Yeah, but I don't have a Baron Zemo. I don't have a Red Skull. And, like, in my... I think it's safe to say Red Skull is the Captain America villain.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then Baron Zemo is, like, close number two. Like, those are the top-tier guys of the Captain America's rogue gallery.
Yeah.
So I would like to find the Baron Zemo. I'm not going to worry about it if I never do. But, yeah, I think they're cool. Just cool designs. Like, just really nasty bad guys. I mean, yeah. Red Skull is a friggin' Nazi. They don't get... You don't have a character background that makes a dude much more of a villain than, oh yeah, he's a Nazi. And he comes with the Cosmic Cube, or the Tesseract, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah,
I'm more down with Cosmic Cube. Because this is a more comic book style Red Skull than a movie Red Skull, so I think he's got the Cosmic Cube.
Also, Cosmic Cube is just a far more cash name than the Tesseract, in my opinion.
Yeah. It sounds like you're trying not to be... You're not living up to your true comic book roots.
Oh, it's not stupid. It's not a Cosmic Cube. It's a Tesseract.
Yeah.
It's a fancier word. That's not the Infinity Gauntlet. That's the Endless Glove.
Yeah, that doesn't sound worse at all. Avengers versus the Endless Glove. Avengers 3, the Endless Glove. Whatever we're going to call it.
Could work. Could work. No, it couldn't.
Woof. Well, oh, speaking of Marvel movies, so have you seen Quicksilver from Days of Future Past?
No.
The X-Men Days of Future Past. So just while I was waiting for you, I was watching Comic Book Girl 19. So I guess Empire Magazine put out 25 covers.
How do they get away with doing that?
Well, every cover has a different character from Days of Future Present. And so right when you were ringing me, she just finished talking about the Quicksilver cover. And so I guess kind of the big deal is they had come to an agreement. So Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch can be in X-Men movies and Avenger movies.
Okay.
Because Joss Whedon had let it slip that his script for Avengers 2 had Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Yeah.
And supposedly it's going to be the same actors.
That would be nice. A little olive branch.
But at least the X-Men version of Quicksilver doesn't look great.
Oh.
So, as Comic Book Girl 19 put it, like, you know Archer's mom in the show Archer?
Yeah.
That is how Comic Book Girl 19 described his hair.
Okay.
And he's, like, in the black, leathery kind of outfit. And then he has a belt covered in electronic doodads.
Maybe that's supposed to be the future version of him.
I don't know. Well, he looks like a teenager. He looks very young.
He's Quicksilver too.
I don't know. It made me a little bummed and hoping that Wheaton and the Marvel people come up with a better costume for him than the 20th Century Fox folks did.
That'd be really funny if it's the same actor in just completely different costumes. Different hair.
I don't want to see the X-Men movie design sensibility interjected into the Marvel cinematic universe style. I do not want. Anyway, what were we talking about? Red Skull.
Yeah.
So Red Skull has a great face sculpt, but his jacket kind of gets in the way of one of his arms. And it's that thing that I think goes back to the beginning of Toy Biz Marvel Legends, where some figures just, you can't put the arm straight down.
Yeah. That's what turned me away from Legends eventually.
Yeah, like, their back muscles are bulging out and blocking the arm or something. So in this case, it's the jacket, which is kind of a bummer. He comes with two guns. One is like this crazy, like sci-fi comic book gun, and the other is an automatic pistol. That pistol slips into a holster on his leg very well. The holster is nice and slim. Not sometimes like those functional toy holsters are like overly bulky. I think the one on Red Skull is very well done. The gun is red, so that's cool.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Now, if it was just like, if it was any other character and he came with a red gun, and it's like, oh, they just didn't want it to be realistic looking, so they made it red and black. But it's the Red Skull. I would imagine the Red Skull being like, I got a red pistol.
It's bloody, like the blood that comes out of the people I shoot with it.
And my face.
Have you noticed my face?
They call me the Red Skull, so yeah, get me a red gun. Go powder coat this pistol, bring it back when it's red. He holds the cosmic cube fairly well. Like, the way his hand is sculpted, it wedges in there fairly tight.
That's cool.
He's got a good grip on it.
That's another one of those things that always bums me out when you have, especially with, like, Hasbro superhero figures, when they can barely hold the things they come with.
Yeah. So yeah, it's cool. It is of that quality. Like, you know, you can't compare it to those really expensive Japanese figures. But it's, I felt it's pretty good for Hasbro's 6-inch figure. It's not bad.
Mm.
So that's Red Skull. That's all I gotta say about that at this time. This juncture. Then I got some building toy stuff.
Did you?
Yes. So I got two blind bag Lego movie figures.
Ooh, did you feel them up?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I felt up so many bags at the Lego store here, and if it takes me longer than 5 minutes, I still feel kind of like a weird person.
Yeah. So I was looking for two. It took me a little bit to find the first one, which is President Business.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt his coffee mug and went, okay, so this is either President Business or like the barista guy. And then I went looking for the hair and I went, okay, I could feel like the hollow round where it plugs onto the head. And then it all feels square. The barista should feel smooth, more like a helmet. So this is most likely President Business. Put that one aside. I'm like, okay, now I want to look for an Abe Lincoln. So I want to feel for something big and round.
Yep.
I pick up a bag and I go squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. All right, Abraham Lincoln. Found it. First try.
Yeah, I found... Or at least I'm pretty sure in my feelings, I've found a lot of Abe Lincolns. And it's funny because Dan D. Fuzz said Lincoln and Shakespeare are like the two rare ones, but my area seems to be rich with Lincolns.
Yeah, I felt something that I was certain was Shakespeare, but I really just wanted Lincoln and President Business.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other ones are cool, but I'm kind of over my trying to get them all. Phase I went through about a year ago with Lego minifigs.
Yeah.
So I just went for the two I wanted the most.
I got into that, but only for the movie figs. So until they do another set of movie figures, I'm all done.
All done.
I got a minifigure too.
Okay, well, is this your turn?
Well, I figure I could just okay, tell you about him.
Well, ride in on it then.
That's fine. Because you talked about him already.
Bring it on.
So I went to a Toys R Us and I brought my ticket stub with me to get a scratch and win card.
Uh-huh.
That's a Canadian Toys R Us thing they're doing. And so I scratched it and said, "You want a Lego movie poster?" And on the inside, I was like, "Well, that sucks." But I was like, "Hey, look at that." And they're like, "We'll go get you your prize." And I'm like, "Thank you." So I'm waiting there for like 3 minutes. And they come back like, "Hey, we're all out of posters, but will this do?" So they hand me, they show me this little poly bag, and I'm like, "Oh, that'll be fine, yeah." So I got the figure you're supposed to get when you pre-order the game, which is Western Emmett.
Oh.
And that was kind of cool. So I got one of the three kind of hard to get minifigures, and I got it with a scratch and win card. And I went and I saw the movie with my brother. So I saw it a second time. My brother gave me his ticket stub. So I went to two Toys R Us's in one day to get two scratch cards. And for my hubris, I got an activity book both times. And it's a real dumb activity book.
Is the activity book that you put it into the recycling bin?
No, they're still both in my backpack because I keep forgetting to take them out of my backpack.
No, you should put them in the recycling bin.
No, I should keep... They might get resale value.
They might.
So, yeah.
Yes, they might.
Yes. There's nothing that says it's impossible. It's just improbable. Yeah. Anyway, that's my minifigure I got. I wanted to piggyback that on yours.
Well, that was a kind of cool story. And look, you escaped the poster fate.
I did.
Got something way cooler.
I was so happy to not get a poster.
Greedy. Don't be greedy about the activity books.
I know. And you know what? One of the activity books, because the Toys R Us is way cooler, they also gave me a $5 gift card.
Look. You're way ahead.
And
between that minifig and the $5 gift card, you were way ahead.
Each of these times, so I got three of these cards, right?
Stop being greedy.
I can't use all the cards together, so I'd have to make it three separate purchases. But each of those cards, if I spend $50 or more, the card will give me $10 off. So I can't stack them, but if I find like a $50 toy, I can get it for $40.
What if you use that on a video game?
You can't use it on electronics.
Well, I mean, video games are just a disc. There's not really electronics.
There's hella fine print all over those things. And they run out in mid-March, so I have a month. They're designed with the hope that you never use them. But yeah, I'm going to show them.
A similar story. So all January, the new casino up here, the Grayton Casino, was doing this event where, like, you put your little player card thing in the scanner, and then you instant win a prize. And it could be 5 free spins on a slot machine at the bottom, $5 off any of the restaurants in the casino, of which there's like 13, a t-shirt, a couple $1,000s.
That's cool.
A BMW. So there's a wide range of prizes you could get. I won a Starbucks gift certificate for one tall coffee. My girlfriend gets $5 off at any of the eateries. We look, the expiration date is the Friday after next. So it's like, okay, I'm like, I got two theories on this. One is, they make the expiration date super fast, hoping that you won't use it in time. And then they don't have to pay out for you using these gift cards or gift certificate things. Or two, they're motivating you to come back as soon as possible. So, okay, you get your free coffee. And then while you're here, you might as well play some games. Or you come to eat, and while you're here, you might as well play some games.
It's such a sad statement. You come to eat at the casino.
They've got some incredibly good restaurants there. We've eaten at a few of the places now. Some of that stuff is really, really good.
All right, I'm sold.
We went to the steakhouse there.
The steakhouse?
Oh, yeah.
And you get $5 off at the steakhouse with that coupon? That's pretty good.
Yeah, we didn't use it there, though.
Oh.
But it was really expensive. but delicious. Not as good as the steakhouse at Epcot Center we went to.
Yeah.
But really good. And then there's a there's two really good pizza places there. Some pretty good hamburgers. There's a lot of good food there. And also they'll take your money through gaming machines.
Yay!
And card tables. No roulette. No craps. The only table games they have are card games. I think that's like a Indian casino rule or something. Like, that's where they draw the line, is on mechanical table games or whatever.
Weird.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, they got everything else there. They have every kind of card game you could think of. Blackjack, poker, Pai Gow, all that stuff. They have thousands of slot machines, both video and mechanical ones. And then it's like, oh, but roulette. Oh, that's going too far.
That's too James Bond.
Whoa, roll it back on those dice games.
That's too late, early 20th century gangster.
Yeah, we have some standards here. Craps is fun. And it's craps is like your best odds of winning in a casino.
That's why I don't have it.
Yeah, so whatever. Like, roulette's like your worst, but whatever. Or Keno's your worst. I don't think they have Keno at Greaton, but I've noticed an increase in advertising from the other casinos in the general area that are like a lot farther away from here than Greaton is. Like, our slots are looser. Our ATM machines don't charge you a fee to use. Like, okay.
That sounds kind of try hard.
Oh, and then one of the other ones. So their January promotion worked so well, all February they're giving away a car every night. And then I see a commercial for one of the other casinos, and they're like, every day in February, we're getting a TV. It's like, that's not really the same level as a BMW, but, you know, at least you're trying.
Nice big tube TV.
Yeah. It's a Zenith. It's a collector's item. It's classic. It's not retro. It's vintage.
Yeah.
More building toy figures.
Oh!
Not done yet. Just got distracted. Call of Duty. World War II 5-pack.
All right, you got those new ones, which yeah. are of older soldiers.
Right. So we're walking through the Toys R Us, and I say to my girlfriend, she's come up a lot this episode.
Yeah.
I say, oh, there's supposed to be like these World War II guys. Like, Vangelis and I were talking about them on the podcast and how there's World War II guys coming. And then I'm not really paying attention to what's on the shelf. And then she's like, you mean like these? I went, oh my God, that's them. I thought this was something coming like down the pipe, not immediately.
Yeah, when you said you found them, I was like, geez, I thought those things were like going to be in the summer.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's more than, like, they had a bunch of just this same set. I'm guessing this is all that there is. And, like, we were talking about how great it would be if there was, like, American, British, German, Japanese packs. It just seems like it's American guys.
Must be a can of worms.
But one of them has a beard.
Yay!
And one of them is, like, a medic guy.
Yay!
And one of them's got a last double.
Yay!
And they've all got crazy painted bug eyes.
That's why I like my modern guys with helmets, because that doesn't happen.
Well, they have helmets.
I mean, like, full face-covering balaclava helmets.
Like, with goggles and stuff.
Yeah.
And I seem to have lost the little bag that all their guns were in.
You'll find it.
I'm hoping I left it in the other room. Yeah. So, like, they come with a variety of guns. like some Thompson submachine guns and an M1 Grand and all that good stuff.
Yeah, look, do the guns look proper? It's from what you remember.
Yeah, well, there were two Thompson submachine guns, and one of them was just solid, molded in plastic, and one was painted. And the painted one looks really cool. It's kind of a bummer that they couldn't have both been painted, but I guess you gotta give up something somewhere.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm a little disappointed is they all have web gear, and it's like exactly the same as like the modern guys. So that kind of makes them look less World War II-ish.
Like they had in World War II.
Yeah. Yeah, so that sort of breaks the illusion a little. But I got my beard Call of Duty soldier minifig guy, so...
Yay! Are they, I'm assuming they're as posable as the ones I got. Like, lots of choice. Like,
yeah, they're exactly the same as far as that level of design.
Yeah.
They're not like the zombies. And as I was starting to put them together, I remembered from putting together the Desert Trooper set that I got. I hate putting them together.
All the mushroom pegs?
It really hurts my fingers. And my favorite one is always the one that comes already assembled in the little window for the box.
Do they still do the thing where they have like one arm behind their back, the other arm saluting?
Yes.
It's so stupid, but I love it.
Well, they're soldiers.
Hey! You're buying a good toy.
And it's the beard guy that's in the window for the World War II set.
That's made for you.
Yeah, then like the bits that it comes with, they're like some sandbags, so you make piles of sandbags and like a fence with some barbed wire on the top.
Woo!
Nothing really special, but I don't want that stuff anyway. I just want the dudes.
Yeah.
And their weapons. So, yeah, they're cool. I thought I wasn't going to get any more after that one set and the zombies. But then I was like, the World War II guys.
Yeah.
So now maybe I'm done. We'll see what else they come up with.
You should get the mortar cannon they're making.
Why?
It's a big cannon for your beard guy to operate so you can shoot, you know, Jerry or whatever.
Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you found some more of those lovely little things and that they didn't end up like the zombies. I felt so bad when you got the zombies.
I still kind of like the... I like the zombies.
Yeah, I know. I felt bad because I kept talking about, they're so poseable. You can't believe how poseable... And that whole time I had no idea the zombies were, you know, the downgrade.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So, you live and you learn.
You do.
They could do a great pose of their hands on their hips, though. They do a very good hands-on-hip pose.
Attentive zombies.
No, I meant the soldier guys.
Yeah, it's like, why would you pose your zombies with their hands on their hips? I want your brains! That's cool.
Exactly. And that is all I got.
You did.
Well, so last time I talked about I got that watch and it was broken.
Yeah.
So I got a replacement.
Is it broken?
No, it works.
Ah, victory.
And like when I took it out of the box, it was already ticking. And I thought, oh yeah, because it's been chipped. So it's in a box that's been getting jostled around. It should be wound. That should have been an immediate clue the first time. It's not like it had been on a shelf for 2 months, not being moved.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Worried I was going to say, is it working? And you're like, nope. This is an ongoing saga.
Oh, and so then because I have all these watches and I've tweeted pictures and stuff and talked about them here. Mm-hmm. I've kind of become like this accidental watch guru and people are like, hey, have you seen these? And like sending me links and asking me about watches and showing me stuff. And I like looking at that stuff. It's cool. please don't assume I am an expert and can give you great advice. Like, all the watches I have that I've bought because I thought, those look neat. I don't know. I am not a watch expert. I don't know stuff.
He's being humble.
I just... It's like the person who says, I don't know art, I just know what I like. I don't know watches, I just know what I like.
Humble. He's being humble. He wants to share. He's being humble, that's all.
I mean, I'm perfectly happy to talk to you about it. But... Like, if... no one has done this, but if somebody were to come at me like... So, I was thinking of this one or that one, but this one seems to have better quartz and... I'm like, I don't... Okay, you lost me. I don't know. I don't know about it on that level. I could just tell you which one I personally think looks better cool.
Well, I got a couple things I wanted to talk about. Just two.
All right.
Just two. One of them was something that a listener of the podcast had picked up for a couple of us on the box he sent me. He went by the name Brick Daddy, which is a great way to not have to name drop him. But... he sent me I'll jump ahead a little bit here. The thing that he found was a whole wall of the thing I linked you to, which is a Lego Movie poly bag called the Super Secret Police Enforcer, which is kind of cool thing. It's a little like robot police hover jet thing.
Uh-huh.
It's neat because it's one of those builds where you can see on the back like the curvy things are like arched diagonally because they're on like a little joint, so the thing doesn't just look like it's made of like 90-degree angles.
Yeah,
which is kind of cool. And the robot police and the micromanagers are like my favorite Lego theme ever. So I want everything that's robot police. So I was one of the folks who was like, hey, can you help me out? So he sends me the thing and he keeps DMing me for like days, just going like, have you got it yet? Oh, yeah. Well, when you get it, oh. So I'm like, well, what the? So I get a really heavy box today in the mail, but small but heavy. So I open it and there's another box inside. So I open it and there's another box inside.
Boxumption.
So there were about 8 boxes of extremely, extremely like but slightly different dimensions. And when it finally got to the polybag was stuffed into the space of roundabouts a matchbook, which is impressive because it means he actually took the time to put all of the pieces in the polybag into one corner of the polybag in the densest packed method they could possibly be packed together in, to begin this whole process. So I was very impressed. I tried to document a bunch of it with my phone because I was at work when I was opening this box. Because I took it out of my mailbox on my way to work. And I was like, I should see what this is. But I should document it. The Super Secret Police Enforcer itself is a great little thing. They're actually on ToysRUs.com right now. There's an order limit of 4. And I ordered 4 of them so I'd have 5 because they're cool. And yeah, I like it. The other thing I'd really like to talk about is a NECA toy based on the hit video game BioShock Infinite. So this is the long, not long, but somewhat delayed in development, Motorized Patriot, which is one of my favorite things from BioShock Infinite. It's the big, crazy American president man, George Washington, and it's a robot version of him, full of clockwork with a peppermill gun and, like, giant flags sticking out of his back.
I love it.
So the flags are really cool because they're actually cloth. And
love it more.
The review I linked you to doesn't show this, but he has gold rope hanging from his back, like 2 gold rope loops. So you can, like, you know, hold the bottoms of the flags closer to his body in them.
Mm.
It's super cool. The figure has like a swappable head to, you know, show the weird like clockwork head when you blow the George Washington parts off. That's kind of cool. The peppermill gun, when you turn the crank, it actually spins, which is neat. The problem with the toy is it's a really cool design, like, especially the way his posability works. The 3, like, skeletal joints, like the 2 knees and the 1 elbow, are actually, like, well, at least the right elbow and right knee, the ones that have to bend with, like, plastic clothing that's somewhat pliable. In order to make them work, they're actually super tight miniaturized ratchet joints, which are really impressive at that scale and with the kind of chintzy plastic materials that are being used. The problem is those materials. This toy is a really good design, and it's extremely hamstrung by Nika's ability to actually mass produce their toys, because they can only really produce things to a certain level of quality, and this thing demands a higher level of quality. It's only like a $30-$35 figure for what is a really big heavy figure with like cloth stuff. It kind of needed to be a $50 figure with better materials, I think, because some of the joints are terrifying to mess with. And the Peppermill gun, now he's got his hands like fused in like a kind of like gripping position, and the thumb is sculpted right onto the fingers. I tried to put the Peppermill gun into his hands, and the non-turny handle, it went in, got stuck. I turned it, and it snapped right off the Peppermill gun, like instantly. Oh, snapped right off. This review I linked you to, I believe they talk about the figure's neck joint being broken in the package. I super glued the handle back onto the gun, and then I basically cut open the connection between his thumb and his fingers, so his hand, now his hands, like his fingers, are separate from his thumbs. He can actually bend open the hand. With that in place, he can actually hold the gun okay, but it's way too tight. The materials are way too brittle. It's a really cool, like, display piece, but this is by no means a playable action figure, and I think that it's one of many figures that is hugely indicative that Nika need to find a better factory, because a lot of, like, not a lot, but several of their figures I've picked up in the last year and a half were really cool designs that were completely hamstrung by the production process. And it's a shame, and it also annoys me a little bit, because Nika... When you look up Nika reviews, a whole lot of people just go like, the toy's perfect. Nika's perfect. Everything they do is perfect. Best toy company. So that's it. And it's like, they aren't. They're a very talented toy company. They're a very small team, as I understand it. It's impressive what they do, but when I see reviews that will just like straight up glaze over stuff, like their ED-209, the ankles don't move at all. So you can never have him flat-footed except in one pose. And I saw a review literally call it the most perfect ED-209 that will ever be made, and it's a good thing it doesn't have ankle joints, because then it would just fall over. And I'm like, fool, have you not seen the ratchet joints in the Motorized Patriot or the 18-inch Gypsy Danger? And I don't know, man. Like, it's a bummer, because, like, Nika themselves don't seem to be up their own butt like, you know, Ashley Wood can get at times. But
yeah, I had that ED-209 pre-ordered.
Yeah.
And it was delayed a couple of times, and I had to pre-order for a really long time. Then I was, like, looking over my pre-orders, and I was just like, I don't know. And I ended up canceling it, and hearing that about the ankles, now I'm not so...
Like, everything else in the thing moves, except for the ankles. And I cannot fathom why, because they have proven examples of the technology that would make that work. They're getting really good at making ratchet joints out of, you know, ostensibly pretty brittle plastic and on small scales. But, and like I said, I don't think Nika themselves are, like, butt-loaded with hubris and just, you know, riding on top of the world. I think they try to do what they can with the limited numbers they have in both, you know, manpower, money, and etc. But the feedback they get, I think, is getting borderline misleading. The number of people who just keep assuring them, you know, everything you're doing is perfect, when many times they have really good ideas with flawed execution, and I don't know. It's really weird looking up Nika reviews.
Yeah, it seems like with their figures, it's like everything's great except for like this one thing.
Yeah.
And that one thing is like pretty bad.
Yeah. And like on the Patriot, it's pretty, like, if you just treat it like a fragile display figure, which many people have for many years with things you get that are not meant for kids, it's fine. But then, like, the Peppermill gun, the handles being so thick, the hands being so tight, literally it is like you will break the gun putting it in his hands unless you start modifying the toy or using a hairdryer. It's like that's a critical flaw. That's pretty big. And something, you know, should be done about that in future. But,
like, looking at, I had forgotten about it, but I had seen pictures of that a while ago.
Yeah.
And just thought, like, man, that thing looks awesome. Like, I haven't played Bioshock Infinite. I'm interested in playing it. I just haven't really gotten the chance to make it happen. But that design just looks so rad.
Yeah.
And now hearing these issues, it seems way less rad.
Yeah,
because I don't want a statue with joints, and that's kind of what you're describing to me.
Yeah, it's just it's too ambitious a design for the limitations of Nika's current production factory. For whatever reason, they do not seem to have available to them the technology and the materials that would make this a more successful toy. Because on paper, this is a really cool idea, the way that this toy works. Like, he's got, like, their usual thing. Like, he's got a ball joint inside the ab area that functions as a waist joint as well, and it's completely hidden by all the rubber clothes in a really cool way. It's just a shame. There's, like, there's all these good ideas and these really, really awful oversights. So, the Nika story continues. But this story is winding to a close because we've reached the end of another day here at WTF at TFW. So
before we go.
Oh.
So those Tomorrow Queens.
Yeah.
So I sent off the three that were going to Ichabod from pre-order 66.
Yeah.
So Ichabod has the owl is his spirit animal, apparently. So I stuck all these little owl stickers all over the outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
But on the inside of the box, I did this. I just sent you a picture. Or a link. A link to a picture. So this is the picture that Joe tweeted when he got the box and opened it up. So I found it. It's like a dish scrubber, that owl. But it was like $2. And it was soft. So I was able to like squish it into the underside of the tray and fit it into the box. And then I printed out a picture of Disney's Ichabod Crane looking all kind of creepy. And it just happened to be facing the correct direction to cover up the two empty spots for where the ones I kept went. So they're just all leching all over the...
That's fantastic. Well,
I was pretty proud of myself.
I would shake your hand if the internet allowed for it. But I also have to imply it. And I'll have to thank you for coming by this evening.
Okay.
We'll be back again with some more Transformers-ing. But in the meantime, we're going to let you guys go. So have a good evening or morning or afternoon, wherever you are on the planet Earth. If you're not on the planet Earth, then why don't you come and get me? I want to leave. Just to suck me right up. I want to see the stars. So for now, have a good night.
Hey, Evangelos.
Yeah.
You said you were going to eat after this?
Yeah.
Enjoy your burrito.
Huh?
What you got some badass perpetrators, and they're here to stay.